Just a little question. How many how longs can you think of in the Bible? Old Testament, New Testament, either one. Just think a little bit. How many how longs? What historic circumstance dictated that people wait? And how long did they have to wait? Days, months, years? Decades, centuries. How many how longs can you think of? What's that?
3,500 years.
All right. That's kind of a... You're talking about from Sinai to here. Yeah. Sinai to here. That's a good date right there. That's a good amount of time. Here's one. How long did God wait for the flood? Do you remember in Genesis 6 when he comes to Noah? He says, my spirit will not always strive with man, yet his days will be 120 years. I believe what that means is in 120 years there'll be a flood. And so what did Noah do in that 120 years? He prepared the ark. What else did he do? Peter says he was a preacher of righteousness. And here's something Noah did that I never really thought about too much before. Noah put up with all of the evil that was in the world for which God was going to destroy the world. We have some idea of what that is now when we watch the evening news and we see the evil that's in the world and we put up with that and we see what's going on in our own nation's capital and sometimes in our state capital and in the law courts of this land. We see those things going on and we can't do anything about it, and so we wait. Waiting, however, it's not just putting up with something because you're forced to. Waiting is putting up with something with a good attitude, a good spirit. It's biding your time, so to speak, with your faith in God. That's what that song was about that we just sang. That's what waiting is. So how long did God wait for the flood? We're going to say it's 120 years because that's the figure he put on it. How long did Abram and Sarai wait, who later became Abraham and Sarah? God promised them a son. I know we talked about this recently. 25 years. 25 years. And after 14, Sarah said, oh, this can't be right. She got in a hurry. Suggested that Abraham take her handmaid and have a child by her, and that's where Ishmael came from, all because they did not wait. I'm not criticizing, I'm simply saying they didn't wait. They didn't realize that God's timetable was much longer than what they would have expected. How long was Joseph enslaved? Remember, Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers, and for a while he served in Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife took a liking to him and accused him falsely of trying to attack her, and he was thrown into prison, and he waited in prison. But he did not languish in prison. He simply waited in prison. And the text says that God gave the jailer, or God gave Joseph favor in the jailer's eyes, and so the jailer saw he was a capable young man and put him over the prison. Everything that went on in the prison, Joseph was in charge of that. And then Joseph interpreted a couple of dreams. How long, by the way, was it before those dreams were remembered to Pharaoh and he was brought out? It was 2 years. 2 years after interpreting the dreams. And when he came before Pharaoh, text says he was 28 years old. You remember how old he was when he was sold into slavery? Text says he was 17, so 11 years away from his family. What was his dad doing all those 11 years? He was mourning his loss. Now, you start to think about these dates. I mean, there's a way you study history, and it's just dates and times, and this much time passed, this many years, this many decades. But when you think about it in human terms, what it must have been like for Jacob to mourn his son. What did his brothers tell Dad that had happened to Joseph? They showed him that coat covered in goat's blood, and he thought his son had been killed by a wild animal. That's what he thought all that time. And then once he was brought out before Pharaoh at the age of 28, well, there were going to be 7 years of plenty, and after the 7 years of plenty, there would be 7 years of famine. So there's seven more years of plenty. And then it was in the second year of the famine, that's when his family was actually brought down to Egypt. So you do the math. I mean, it was years. Years, and several of those years were spent in prison under a false accusation. So, but God was working his plan out the entire time. How long was Israel enslaved? Well, they were in Egypt for, the text says, 430 years in Exodus. We rounded off, it's spoken of as 400 years in slavery, because they didn't go down as slaves. They went down 75 people and became a great nation, and that's why they were later enslaved. But they were down there for about 400 years, and then they came out. How long was Israel in the wilderness? 40 years. How long is 40 years? Think about that. When I was 18, 40 years was like, oh, you bunch of codgers. And now I'm 67. It's like you haven't even started living. When you're 40, you're just a kid. It's all a matter of perspective, but it's time. It's all about time. And Israel was in the wilderness. By the way, they weren't wandering. God was leading them, but he wanted to lead them in the wilderness until what happened? Until that whole generation died off. He didn't want the tainting of that faithless generation going into the land of Canaan with their younger children. And the young children, those were the ones that the generation that died off, those were the ones they said they were afraid of endangering. And God says, you're going to die out here, and your kids that you worried about, they're going to take over in the land of Canaan. 40 years. A lot of 40s in the Bible, by the way. How long was Judah in Babylon? 70 years, about. That's the figure we're given. There were three deportations, but for the most part, the prophecy was that they would be in captivity for 70 years. What does 70 years represent for us, pretty much, but a lifetime? Even David said, a man's days are 70, and if by reason of strength, 80. Some of us are living on borrowed time. I even had somebody write to me and tell me that about their age. I said, man, I'm living on borrowed time. But why were they in Babylon? They had done evil. God was not simply, what am I going to do today? I think I'll deport Judah into Babylonian captivity. The prophets came and they warned and they warned and they warned. And Judah never turned around, and so God put them in captivity and brought them back in 70 years, reestablished the nation after 70 years. That's a long time, 70 years. This is 2024. How far back would 70 years take us? But to 19, back in the 1900s and 54. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as how many people were born by then, but how many of us were not born in 1954? Yeah, see, we didn't even exist. That's how long 70 years is. And now we've had children. Time marches on. Laura, I don't know if you remember, but several years ago I had you write down on a couple sticky notes the names of the new babies we had, because I wanted to learn their names. And where is that note? Here it is. Here's some of those new babies. Jalen Smith. How old is Jalen now? Well, that was in 2000. What's that? 17. High school child. Piper Mosshammer. Jamie Pinot. Let's see, I used to know who she was. Jamie Pinot, yeah. Owen Ford. See, the time just gets on. Alyssa Bentley's another little one. Jake. These kids were just born. They were just babies. I was trying to learn their names. That's how new they were. And now they're all grown up. Time marches on. And sometimes it marches all over us. But we wait. We wait. How long until Jesus returns? There's a question. And we don't know, do we? Well, I don't know about you. I read the creation account. And this is just something to think about. I'm not making any prophetic statement or anything like that. But there are 6 days of creation and 1 day of rest. And we are pretty much at the 6,000-year point. I wonder if that will have anything to do with the return of Jesus. Jesus does say it's going to happen. He's going to be sent back by his Father in a time when we do not think it will come. So if you don't want him to come, pick a time and say that's when it's going to be, and you can be assured it won't be then. Which, what does that say about all the prophecies about Jesus' return that people are making these days? Well, they don't know what they're talking about. Before we go on to the next slide, you can just look at those and think about those for a little bit. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 6. We will, in just a little bit, Lord willing, get to that passage in Isaiah upon which that song was based. And I appreciate you leading that, Johnny. I didn't know you were going to do that, but fits perfectly with the lesson tonight. Revelation chapter 6. You get down to verse 9, and what we see in verse 9 of the Revelation of chapter 6, verse 9 of chapter 6 in the Revelation, is pretty much the whole purpose of this book being written. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9 says this: "When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' And it was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also." No definite time period, not 6 months or a year and 6 months or a few weeks, just a little while longer until the number of your brethren who are supposed to be killed are going to be killed. And when that's complete, God says that's when it's going to be time to act. But they're asking, how long? I'm thinking these are the souls of those who have been slain. I wondered what they might have thought just as they were being slain. Where is the Lord? How come he hasn't shown up already? How come he's waiting to the point where we are dying, and then the souls of those who were slain are still pictured as asking? Now remember, this is all figurative, but we are shown these figures of slain souls, slain for the cause of Christ, asking God, how long will you wait? And the balance of the book from here on is God's answer to that question. And everything from here on out is God coming in judgment against his servants who were waiting, or not against those who were persecuting his servants who were waiting on him. I don't know if I said that right. This is about God coming in judgment on Rome, and Rome was persecuting God's servants. Now, he had previously said in chapter 2, if you look at Revelation 2, and this is where the theme of waiting and waiting under difficult situations still holds up. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. "To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life," says this. Isn't that interesting? This is how he identifies himself to this congregation, the one who was dead and has come to life. That's the one who's saying this. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you're rich. And the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for how long? 10 days. Not a literal time period. That's a figurative time period. The number 10 is one of those numbers that represents a complete time. When that time is complete, you're going to suffer for a complete time. And he says, be faithful until when? Until death. Be faithful unto death, and I'm going to give you a crown of life. Here's a church who's told to wait on God. How long do they have to wait? Until they are dead. That's why we see the souls of those who've been slain for the cause of Christ under the altar crying out, how long? How long are you going to wait? I don't think we're to be shown that they're crying out, how long will you wait? As if they were criticizing God. But it's more for the benefit of the reader. The reader is seeing the question, how long will God wait? And the revelation is showing, I'm not waiting anymore. No matter how long you and I wait on God, he will always come through in the end. He will fulfill every promise he has ever made. But in the meantime, we wait. We pass the time with good spirits, good hearts, good attitude, knowing that God is working out his own timetable. If you and I were in charge, what would we do? Well, you know what we'd do. We'd mess it up. And first we'd argue back and forth about how we were going to mess it up. I think that's true of us because that seems to be the nature of human beings. But God simply says, put your faith in me and just wait. Just hold on. I remember back when Christmas was fun. I know it's a funny statement, isn't it? But I was a kid, and the thing back in the day when I was a kid was the Sears and Roebuck catalog or the JCPenney catalog. They would send these catalogs in the mail, and all the old folks remember getting the catalog out and pouring through the catalog. It's stuff that you want to get for Christmas and picking stuff out, and you'd kind of crumple up that page in case mom or dad got a hold of the catalog. They would see that that page is crumpled up. And you'd hope and you'd plan and you'd dream about it, but you waited. And then Christmas would come. And the worst day of the year, was the day after Christmas. Because it's going to be a full year until Christmas comes again. See, that's the way it was when you were a kid. And now it's, oh man, it's Christmas already. Is there anybody in here who has not complained about how early they put the decorations out at Walmart? Things change. We understand there are these points on the calendar that come and go, and we sort of regulate our lives based on those. And things used to be very different than they are now, but really, when it comes right down to it, no, it's the same. It's the same. When does school start? When does school let out? When do we start decorating for the holidays? What days do we get off? When are we going to take our vacation? You make plans, but you have to wait for your plans to be fulfilled. God makes plans. He always has. He always has made plans. And he teaches us to be faithful and to wait for him for his plans to be fulfilled. Because I don't know if you've noticed, the earth is a hostile environment for people who believe in God. And so we wait in this hostile environment. And that's one of the lessons of what we're being taught here. A season, that's not written right, but you see what I'm trying to say. How long does it take to await a season's passing? And what kind of a season are we talking about? Well, different seasons might come to mind. Spring. Oklahoma can never make up its mind when it's going to be springtime. It's just in and out and in and out all the time. But what if we're not talking about the weather? What if we're talking about a season of suffering, a season of sickness, a season of weakness, a season of heartache? Nothing lasts forever here. Things come in seasons. It might be a season of prosperity that we enjoy, but sometimes we get to the point where we don't even enjoy prosperity because we look around and say, wow, things are going so good. What's going to happen next? Got to be something bad coming. Well, why do we think like that? Because we live in a hostile environment and we know that not everything lasts. How long does it take to build character? Here's a question. We look at history and we always, okay, 70 years they were in exile, 40 years they were in the wilderness. The flood lasted almost a year. God waited 120 years for it to come. But what about your own character, my own character? How long does it take us to build character? How long does it take for an acorn to become a tree? It's the same kind of a question, really. What do you have to do with an acorn? Well, you have to put it in ground that will give it nourishment. You have to water it. It's got to get some sunshine. But eventually, the plan for an acorn is to become a tree. And the plan for you to have character is always God's plan, but it takes a while. How long does it take to establish a good reputation, even if you have good character? How long do you have to live among people to establish among them that you are reputable, you are trustworthy, you are honest, you are sincere? How long does it take? How long does it take for pain to subside? Remember when you were a kid and you'd fall down, skin your knee? You'd cry and you got blood and you'd hold it because if you held it, it didn't hurt so much. And if you could get to your mom, what would your mom do? Well, depending on your mom, she might say, shut up. You little squealer. Go get the Mercurochrome. I'm going to paint your knee orange. But what you want your mom to do is to hug you and hold you and wipe the blood off and then kiss it and make it better. And as I recall, those kinds of hurts, it wasn't long before the pain would subside. It was very intense at the beginning. As soon as you wrecked your bike or fell down or whatever you did, the pain hurt very intensely right then, but it wasn't long before the pain would subside. And if you didn't break anything, you weren't bleeding all over the place, you'd be back playing with your buddies before long. But what about when someone you love dies? Kyle touched on that this morning. Some of us are old enough to have experienced a lot of death. People, loved ones have lost their lives. Some expectedly, some unexpectedly. How long does it take? You wait. Because pain is something you sometimes simply learn to cope with. You don't get over the loss of a loved one. And sometimes it's not the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's a loss of a relationship. Sometimes you go through a divorce. It's hard. And you don't always know how to act. The one you can depend on is always going to be God. And so you put your trust in Him to carry you through whatever hard time you're in, whatever loss you are suffering. Emotions to settle. How many things have we said in anger that we wish we could call back? But if we wait, if we're willing to wait. Now here's a trick for all you dieters out there. Are any cereal bingers? I don't mean cereal S-E-R. I mean cereal C-E-R. I could take a box of good cereal and a gallon of milk and I could down that baby in less than half an hour. Now, I've never done it. I don't want you to think he's a crazy man. But some of you out there, just like me, that's your fantasy. I could eat that stuff. But if you eat a bowl of cereal and you really want another one, if you'll just wait 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes, if you'll wait 5 minutes, the flavor of that stuff that's in your mouth will be gone and you won't be craving it anymore. Why is that true? I think good Lord made us that way so that we could see in that little bitty spectrum of life that there is a payoff to waiting. If you just wait a little bit, you won't have that desire like you're having it now. If you want to say something because you're angry, you're hot, do not afford yourself the luxury of speaking too soon. What was it we've just studied in James? James knew he was going to say some hard things to the church in that letter. And so he says in the first chapter, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Take your time. Wait on the Lord. Don't afford yourself the luxury of speaking too soon. Let your emotions settle. When you lose someone's trust, how long does it take you to get that back? I know there's a lot of variables it depends on. But what does that show us? Except the value of maintaining trust, of not behaving in such a way as to lose someone's trust. Time. It's all about time, and it's all about waiting. Sometimes you put yourself in a place where all you can do now is wait. Wait and live in a godly fashion so that in time you can regain trust. You can regain a reputation. You can regain some of what you've lost and perhaps all of what you've lost. But even in sin, it's about waiting. How long does it take to learn self-control? One of the best motivators to learning self-control is losing self-control and doing something that's embarrassing or humiliating or expensive. All these things. And when you think about it, I put this one last because I want you to think about the fruit of the Spirit. When Paul writes to the churches of Galatia, he lists 9. I believe there are more than 9. But how do you get fruit? What do you start with to get fruit? You start with a seed. You take a seed, apple seed, watermelon seed, whatever it is. You plant that seed and you come back the next day for your fruit, right? Right. Yeah, we all know the way that works. You plant the seed, just like the acorn. You plant it, you water it, you put the sun on it, you cultivate it, you keep the weeds away from it, and in time, you have a plant, and from that plant, you have fruit. And our lives are just like that. All of these things I want us to think about, because we get in a hurry in life, and especially in our culture, we have all these time-saving devices. What's our favorite kind of food? Fast food. Drive-up windows. Microwaves. Fast. It's got to be fast. Got that jet air fryer. Just take it out the tanker and put it behind one of those planes. That baby will fry. We want everything fast. And that really isn't good for us. If you can learn to wait and learn to wait on God's terms, it'll be one of the greatest blessings you've ever found in your life. To just wait, to just ease things along on His time frame. When you're sick, the waiting is more difficult. It's more of a challenge. When you're troubled, there can be confusion. Just hold on. When you don't know what to do, sometimes we need to understand you don't need to do anything except just hold on and wait. Stand by. That's one of the things you used to hear come over the radio in the military. Call in and ask a question, what's going on? Well, stand by. Standby. What's standby mean? It means wait. That's one of our favorite sayings in the military. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Does that make sense? Yeah, if you've been in the military, it makes perfect sense. Hurry up and wait. But learn how to wait. That's what God's trying to get us to do. When life seems out of control. When does life ever not seem out of control? If you ever think you are in control, you are deluded. God is the only one who has any control. And by the way, when things are going great, also wait while things are going great. Still put your faith in God. We're going to finish up with that passage that we know so well from the song, Isaiah chapter 40. If you look at it in the context, and I hope what we've looked at tonight shows you that this isn't the first time God's taught us about waiting. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength like eagles. We've been learning about waiting all through history, and God's been teaching us and training us. This is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. And if you go back and look at chapter 39, you'll pick up the context. King Hezekiah, good king, God says, I'm bringing evil on Judah, but not in your day, because you've tried to do right. I'm bringing evil after your day, and that's when the Babylonians are coming. And this is part of that context. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Now, why would they say that? Because that's how they felt. God says through Isaiah, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He doesn't get impatient. We do. But he's saying, as it were to us, it's not time yet. Hold on, it's not time yet. What do children always ask in the back seat of the car? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You ever ask God that? Why aren't we here yet? How come you haven't done this? How long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood? All these questions about, hasn't it been long enough? And God says, hold on. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. Look at the grandeur of the imagery. Mounting up with wings like eagles. The things of this world tire out folks who don't have God, but those who do have God, this will be their lot. And if anybody were to ask me to explain that, tell me how it happens, I would have to say, I don't know. But it's been happening for me all my life. Somehow you make it through. Somehow you have the strength to endure. Somehow you can see the light at the end of the tunnel all the time. And it's not because your life or my life is somehow charmed. It's that our lives are touched by the God who shows us how to live by faith. And that's what makes all the difference. So this week, no matter what comes your way, I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord. That's what he's taught us all through his book. All of his history teaches us to wait. He's got a schedule. Everything's running on schedule. But it might not be today. So wait. Wait with a good heart. Wait with your faith in God. And while you're waiting, encourage those who are struggling in their wait. Show them kindness. Show them instruction if they need instruction. Show them understanding and care. And be patient with them as God is patient with us. We're going to stand and sing a song. There's a song leader coming right there. And if you have a need tonight that we can help you fulfill, we're asking you to respond so that we might help you with that. This lesson is concluded. Let's stand and sing to the Lord.